Hoiberg joining us. Coach, good to see you. Appreciate you making a little time for us.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. I know I was looking through. You guys have your, I guess the compliance folks have your sheets posted all over the building, but it's an active recruiting period, and we talk a lot about a basketball. It's crazy. It's you guys almost get, like, no downtime.
No, it really isn't. When you have an off day, more often than not, you're going to go spend it on the road and go track one of your main recruits Coach Abdelmassi and I, you know, we get out on the road a lot together. We've got a great staff that's got us on some pretty high-level kids right now. It's part of the job. The most important thing is to get the right players in here that fit your system and fit what you're trying to do. We've done a really good job with that.
In listening to you last night and some of your players preaching the good start, and obviously you guys got off to a heck of a start last night, and for good measure you shot 64% in the second half, just to make sure it all looked good, I guess, for both halves. But is that as good as you've seen them get going early?
It was the best start we've had, and we felt that was very important against a team as talented as Arkansas and the way they try to speed you up and turn you over. We felt if we could take care of the ball and try to get numbers in the backside of that press, we at least would have open shots. And then it's just a matter of knocking them down, which we did early on in that contest, and we were able to create some separation just because of the way that we went out and played and had the right mentality. It struggled with that last week against Maryland, just really got away from who we are. Didn't share the ball, only had 8 assists in that game. We led the nation in that category a year ago. And then came back against Lamar, had 26 assists on 36 baskets, and then followed that up last night with another good showing. And, the biggest thing we talked about going into that game was not only taking care of the ball, but keeping them off the glass and holding a team of that size and athleticism to 2 offensive rebounds in that first half was definitely a key.
What do you think that maybe some other teams you played this year or will play that Arkansas compares to?
Well, actually, Alabama, I think, is a pretty good comparison. They got the big kid in the middle. They're very athletic. They play different defenses. So we've been actually prepared. It's such a unique prep going into a game against a team like Arkansas because they're so unique and you don't face a lot of that. We only had one day of prep. We played Lamar on Tuesday, got back in the gym on Wednesday, and had to go through all of our different press breaks and how we were going to play against their motion and really try to limit their transition opportunities. And again, for one day, I thought our guys really locked in and did a good job with that. But to answer your question, Alabama has some of that same qualities. They get out and pressure you. They'll play different defenses. They'll zone you. That was a good win for us. I think they've made some improvements and they've got some very athletic perimeter players and they shoot the ball well. And that's the most impressive thing that I saw going into that Arkansas game is just how well they're shooting the ball and sharing it and, shooting 46% from the 3-point line. But we wanted to limit the paint and we held them to 6 paint points in the first half and outscored them by 20. In that category, and that was huge.
One of the things we were excited about last night, too, is not only these guys playing now, but also we got, let's be honest, I mean, there's a handful of NBA talent just between these two teams. I wanted to get your thoughts on Portis. I know you were asked about in the postgame last night, and a guy who's been around a lot of good players. Just wanted to, and you talked about it last night, he's a pretty versatile player, and you've got one yourself, of course, too.
But. Yeah, Portis, I saw him play this summer at the LeBron camp out in Las Vegas. I went out to watch our guy, George Niang, play out there, and he and Michael Qualls were both out there playing. And that's when I got a little scared about this matchup with the SEC Big 12 Challenge because of the versatility of Portis. He's, he's every bit of 6'10". He's got a great body. He can shoot it. He can knock down shots. And I think he's a very good passer and can handle it some. And those qualities, that type of thing carries over to the next level. And then Qualls with his athleticism, that's what you look for. I spent 10 years playing in the league and spent 4 years as an executive. And that's what you look for first and foremost. You look for body and you look for athleticism. And both those guys have that.
What about George? Yeah, because I'm excited. Not only I know he's Boston kid.
Oh, my gosh, he's in love with this Boston kid.
Methuen, actually. But what about him in unique and how does he project into the NBA? I know he sculpted up his body a little bit, but his vision and hands and feet are on another level.
Yeah, George is going to find his way onto a roster. There's no doubt in my mind. He's just so productive. The way that whole recruiting process went down is Leo Papil, who you played for, for BABC.
I got some stories about Leo.
I'm sure you do. I do, too. But, Leo and I would be on the road a lot when he was working in the front office with Boston and I was with Minnesota. We'd spend a lot of time on the road. And when I got the job, he called me, and, he had some great players. In fact, they won the national championship that year with a Peach Jam, and they had Nerlens Noel, they had Wayne Selden, Good Luck, they had a lot of great players. but the guy that he said, you got to come out and see my kid George Niang, he said he's the heart and soul of this team. In my opinion, he's the best player. And I went out and watched him, and you got Calipari in the gym and Bill Self and Calhoun from UConn. And they were all watching those other guys, yeah. And George just abused Nerlens. I mean, right-hand hook, left-hand hook. He was shooting threes over the top, and I offered him right there in a spot. We were his first high major offer, and he remembered that. And then he blew up after that recruiting period. But being the first team to offer him, he remembered that. And he's such a loyal kid. To be able to get a guy like that, you know, it's a four-year player. But to answer your question, yes, I think there's no doubt in my mind he will make it in the NBA.
Iowa State head coach Fred Hoiberg joining us here in the Jacobson Building at the Iowa State campus, recapping a little bit last night, but also talking about basketball in general. I wanted to ask you, because you have a unique experience as a player here, growing up in Ames and then coming back and coaching here. When it's rocking like it was last night, did it seem the same as when you were a player? I mean, you kind of get in the same flow, get the juices going?
Yeah, there's no place like Hilton Coliseum. You know, I feel it's probably the most underrated arena in all of college basketball. And, you know, we've sold out every game this season. Every seat is going to be filled for every game. And it's a tough atmosphere for people to come in and walk out with a win. It's an all wood ceiling, so the sound just bounces off, and it is just unbelievable. Whether you're in, even through the lean times, you know, the support is still unbelievable in all sports. You know, our women basketball program second in the nation in attendance. Football, you know, so had a record season ticket sold again this year. So it's just the support of this community is like no other.
There is, you know, every time there's an opening, it seems like in the NBA your name comes up. Is there ever any going to be any traction, think, at that level, or you think you're a college coach all the way?
You know what? I've got such a unique situation in Ames. You know, I coach every game in front of my parents who sit up there in the stands, my in-laws. You know, my kids play golf with their grandparents almost every day in the summer.
Coach, doesn't that translate into a little bit of pressure? I mean, sometimes you can't get away with anything.
You're right about that. It is pressure. You know, I have such a passion for this university. I grew up four blocks from Hilton. I was a ball boy, both football and basketball programs. But if I didn't think we were going to be successful here, I wouldn't have taken the job because of the passion that I have for this place. But to answer your question, have I gotten calls? Yes. Has it ever gotten anywhere? No. Because of how happy we are here.
You were a freakish talent back in the day. Not that you're not still in.
I don't know if freakish is the right word.
Freakish. Compared to me, you're a freakish talent, Coach. I mean, people don't realize, I think, that you were a great track guy, too, in football as well. But what about the kids? We got a future star?
We've got a couple that have a chance. My daughter's a senior right now. She's gotten some small school offers, but she's going to go to a
for
big
hoops?
School experience. For hoops. Yeah. She's a good little track runner as well. I've got three boys. Son is a sophomore. They're actually playing your alma mater tonight in basketball, Sadell.
I'll go ahead and chalk that up as a win for Gilbert tonight because Sadell isn't doing much in any sport.
They still have a team at your high school?
Oh, they're horrible. Anyway, moving on.
And then I've got some twins, sixth grade twins, they're angry little suckers. They've got a chance to be really good.
Yeah, I saw you posted a picture of Matt a year ago, and I'm like, these little dudes are sculpted up like little Hoibergs. I like it. These guys are getting after it.
So. You get a chance to get up there and play with them at least, or just get up and down?
You know what? I'll shoot with them. You know, after I had a heart condition at the end of my career back, when I was 32, I found out about my heart condition, and, you know, it was tough timing. I just led the league in three-point shooting at almost 50% and found out that my career was ending. So that's kind of the day I stopped playing, and you know. But I still get out there. I shoot with them all the time, and you know, it's fun. It's great to watch your kids go out there and play. In fact, shoot, I get more nervous in their games than I do with our games.
Did you would you describe your situation this summer? Was it a scare, or was it just something that was sort of maintenance, or what happened this summer?
It was a scare. I actually 3 days after I had my open heart surgery back in 05, my heart went out of rhythm, and I had to get a pacemaker implanted. I thought it was temporary, but actually it became permanent. My heart really doesn't beat on its own anymore. It's because of my pacemaker. And we were out on the road recruiting, and we were in Vegas, and then I got to St. Louis. I was really lightheaded and just didn't feel right. Got back. I was actually working out with my wife, and my heart rate wasn't elevating at all. So I knew something wasn't right. I called the Mayo Clinic where I had my initial surgery, and basically they said, you need to check your pacemaker. Checked it. It was on reserve battery mode. And, you know, another month, if I hadn't checked it, could have got pretty dangerous. So I was fortunate. It was a pretty routine surgery. Just had to replace the pack of my pacemaker. You know, and I'm lucky. I get checked every 6 months and keep on top of it.
So a guy with a heart issue, of course, should become a Division I basketball coach. That makes perfect
sense.
That
was smart.
Yeah, not stressful at all. That's
no.
Good.
Well,
no.
I was talking to somebody before, and, of course, last week's game against Maryland and the Lamar game, and I said, Coach must have been really hammering these guys all week, and the answer was no. He was kind of taking it easy, and someone mentioned that you didn't have a tie on for the first time last night for a long time. So.
Was there symbolism there? Was that just
trying to loosen it up for everybody?
Yeah, I've gone back-to-back games now without the tie. Just, I don't know. I I tried it. I said to my wife, so, you know, I'm going to try one game without a tie. And hell,
so you get advice
better.
From your wife?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, okay. Yeah. She's always laying out the outfits for me.
No, she doesn't. Here's something about Coach A. He's a very dapper man.
He's very dapper.
Did you happen to notice Coach Anderson and his wife had matching outfits, I think, last night?
I didn't notice the matching. After watching the game film, I saw she was running the stairs at Hilton Coliseum. That was pretty impressive.
Yeah. Does your wife work out in Hilton?
Not at Hilton, no.
Okay. She doesn't run the stairs?
No.
That's pretty funny. Yeah.
So, do you have a good relationship with him? I know you guys know each other from.
Yeah, I do. You know, he was great when I came into the Big 12 Conference, you know, very well, like all the coaches were. You know, it's a great group of guys. He sure didn't take it easy on us. They beat us by 40 first time we played him at Missouri. You know, but he's a really good guy, and he's doing a really good job with that program, no question about it.
Yeah, when you were in school, of course, Arkansas was still rocking, and they had some, speaking of lean years, I mean, Iowa State never got quite that lean, but it's good to see them back, and you got two great programs, I think, and it was a fun matchup last night, and obviously you guys really played well. So
who did you guys play? Did you guys play the SEC Big 12 last year too?
We did. We played Auburn last year. Yep. Okay. At home.
Ooh.
Yeah. So we actually go back-to-back years on the road these next couple of years.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next year, do you know? Can you say?
Don't know yet. Okay. Don't know. Yeah, they don't make that decision until I think after the Big 12 meetings.
When you get you in favor, that'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Maybe that would be more fun for them. But they didn't have much fun last night. What about the Big 12? How's the Big 12 shaping up? I heard you talking very well about it last night. Feel like it's the best league in America as far as basketball goes?
Yeah, I actually saw the numbers this morning. It is the number one ranked conference as far as RPI goes. And, you know, even look at the teams that were kind of at the bottom last year. And those two teams are 12-1 right now with TCU and Texas Tech. So that shows you, I think, top to bottom, that our league is the best in the country. And, you know, it's a true champion playing the round robin. You play each team twice. You know, it's the right way to do it. You do get the true champion, and it's going to be a grind, though. I mean, you look at West Virginia, you know, what they've done. They had a loss last night, their first one. But, you know, I mean, winning that tournament out in Puerto Rico and, you know, Kansas being Kansas, K-State, Oklahoma, Baylor's playing great basketball, Oklahoma's. I mean, really, there's no off nights in our league.
You keep an eye on the NBA at all, or are you too busy with college?
I do. I actually watch a lot of NBA. I watch probably more NBA basketball on my off nights than I do college, with exception of the team that we have upcoming with a scouting report. But that's where I get my ideas. You know, I think those are the brightest minds in the game. And, you know, I'll steal plays. You know, I'll send a message to our film guy, hey, look at 247 in the second quarter with the Charlotte Hornets. You know, and then we'll look at that play in practice and add it to the playbook book if it works. You know, but that's our philosophy is based on NBA spacing, and we try to draw 2-1-1 and play on the backside with numbers.
Coach, can you talk about your team building and you know, look at the roster? I know you have a lot of new guys this year with transfers and junior college guys. Is that unique and something, it just works out that way that you get these transfers, something that you say, hey, I can get these guys in his value?
You know what? It is a little bit unique. I think one is the landscape of college basketball. There's 600 transfers this last year. You know, my first year I got the job, I talked to our staff about getting talent into Ames where we could compete for championships. And, you know, that first year we didn't have a number, but we got four very high-level transfers that came in and helped us get on the right track. You know, and then you get some four-year players and you sprinkle in a couple junior college. You know, right now we've got two transfers on our roster, but a lot of four-year guys that are making huge impacts on the success of our team. So it really depends. You know, we're just trying to get the right mix and get the right players in here that fit how we play.
Yeah, well, there's got to be something about the way you approach it or vet them or something, because there are guys that have come in that had, you know, at least from the media perspective, baggage, quote unquote, and it seems like everything's gone really smoothly. It's surprising how well things have gone as you blend all these different guys with backstories.
Yeah, and I think if you look at the dynamic of our staff, I've got a very young staff that really relates to today's kid. And you know, the biggest thing that we look for and when talking to somebody is if they take accountability for maybe an action that got them in trouble in their first spot. And you know, I believe kids deserve second chances. I mean, a lot of them, you know, 17 or 18 years old, you know, kids aren't perfect. So you know, we've had great success with it. You know, no transfer that's come in here has had any issues, and hopefully we can continue with that.
Our my preacher comes on our show. We call him the Pigskin Preacher. He's kind of a know-it-all, but I love him. He's from Flint, Michigan, and so we have talked many times about the history of Flint, Michigan, and the connection here to Iowa State, and got a couple of banners hanging in the rafters over there with Flint connections. I do want to ask about Monte Morris for his benefit, as I know he's listening back in Little Rock, about the way he's handled things. And I mean, he had a ridiculous year last year with the assist to turnover ratio.
Yeah, and you're right about, you know, Johnny Orr, who came from Michigan to Iowa State, all-time winningest coach at two big-time programs. You know, kind of started that connection with Jeff Grayer, who's the all-time leading scorer here. Barry Stevens is third. Justice Thigpen, who I played with back in the early 90s. Now Mate, you know, is a Mr. Basketball. Michigan and Michigan State both got on him late, you know, and we were really deep in there with him and got very lucky to get a player of that caliber. He just makes winning plays. He won back-to-back state championships. You know, he's a pass-first guy. Last week he had 12 assists, zero turnovers against Alabama. And, you know, set an all-time Division I record with assist-to-turnover ratio. He had 7-1 in league, which is unheard of for anybody, let alone a freshman. And he's taken over, you know, more of the ball-handling responsibilities with DeAndre Kane graduating. But, you know, he's a heck of a player.
Coach, yeah. I'm going to ask you about the NCAA tournament because I know I'm not asking you to look ahead, but we all like to do that. What type of a makeup do you think is for teams to make deep runs? What do you think is the key for that?
Well, so much of it is how you're playing at the particular time. You know, you look at teams that go through different stretches throughout the course of the season. You know, and if you have that confidence, you look at UConn last year, they didn't have a great regular season.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, they get hot at the right time. You know, we faced them to go to the Elite Eight, you know, and George Niang broke his foot going into that one, you know. But I felt we were playing as well as anybody last year at that time and, you know, had a great chance, you know, to win a championship a year ago. But, you know, it wasn't in the cards. But that's an example of a team that had it clicking at the right time. You know, the length is important. You got to have a guy back there that can protect the rim. You know, we're getting one of those at semester, which mm-hmm. is Neil McKay. You know, but you look at all these rosters out there right now, and, you know, it's going to be exciting. You look at Kentucky, you look at Wisconsin, you look what Duke did. You know, Kansas, I think, will be there. It's going to be fun.
Have you seen the team as talented as Kentucky this year? Or can you compare maybe – to a team you've seen?
No, you can't compare. you know, it's you look at the – I mean, they have 9 McDonald's All-Americans on that team. It's crazy. I mean, they got so much length, they can just keep throwing waves at you. It's going to take a very hot shooting team, I think, to be able to knock them off.
Could they beat the Sixers?
No, they couldn't beat the Sixers.
Okay.
No.
Can you still dunk?
Yes.
When's the last time you lost a shooting contest?
Never.
Okay. You saw Scotty Thurman last night.
I did. That's
a Ruston rifle.
Did you guys play against each other at all?
We did. We did. You know, he and Corliss and, you know, those guys, that was a fun team to watch.
Fred, you may or may not know this, but, and I tweeted this last night, maybe the three best shooters in the building last night were not playing in the game. You, the Ruston rifle, and my boy PB, who
long
is the all-time leading three-point shooter at Arkansas.
So I would never even challenge this man, especially on his home turf. Are you kidding me?
You don't want a piece of him?
Chicken.
He's got a bum knee.
Although I do want to check out the practice facility after.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, cool. It's big time.
So I get your blessing.
We did drive by it. It is pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, back when I was playing here, we'd practice at Hilton some days. You'd be at on-campus gym. I mean, you just never knew. It just gives you consistency. Yeah. It's a great spot. You know, it's very functional, 24-hour access. It's a great place to.
Somebody dumped a bunch of money in state gym, I'm told, too.
Yeah.
I haven't been over there.
Yeah,
my brother goes over there and hacks people. So,
not like you've ever been there.
I was over there.
Yeah, okay.
Buddy, I was pretty terrible back in the day. But I had to work out a little bit. Coach, we appreciate it. I know you got more important things to do than hang out with us. But it was great seeing you again.
Yeah,
it's been a while. So congratulations on last night's victory, and good luck the rest of the way. Love to see you guys. I still hate on Kansas now. You guys need to knock them off a couple times this year. I was telling these guys when you were in school, I think you were still there for both of those, Kansas came in here ranked twice, two different times ranked second, and you guys knocked them off. That
yeah,
was fun.
Those are great games.
Tough
fact,
trash.
In fact, if you go over to Hilton right now, there's 40 tents of students camping out for the Kansas tickets.
We're
heading over there next to give the kids some pizzas.
There you go.
That's good. We'll let you get to it. Coach, good seeing you.
Yeah, thanks.
Appreciate you, Coach.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. It is 11:26. Be back in just a moment. It's the Zone on the Road. Ames, Iowa, wrapping up the Razorback road trip. Be back in just a moment.